Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the Flying Squirrels pregame warm-up presented by Air Force Reserve. Jake Eisenberg with you, getting you set for a 7:05 first pitch between the Richmond Flying Squirrels and the Erie Seawolves. Last night, the Flying Squirrels lost 3-0. They were nearly no-hit, but that didn't happen thanks to a two-out, two-strike double down the third baseline by Ryder Jones, and he joins us now on the Flying Squirrels pregame warm-up. Ryder, you come to the plate, and you end up being a strike away from being no-hit as a team. What are you thinking about in the batter's box?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jake. I appreciate it. You know, I was really just trying to battle and try to put something in play. He kind of had our number all night, and I could kind of tell he wanted to put me away with a heater in the last at bat. I don't know if it's just an adrenaline thing or what it was, but a lot of guys in that situation, I've faced a couple of guys like late in the game with a no-hitter, and they love to try to get you out with the fastball. So I was just going to try to shoot a fastball to the left side because they've been shifting me all night, and luckily I got one. It was a ball up and away, but I felt like it was a pitch I could shoot the other way, and it just snuck inside the third baseline.
What did you guys see from the dugout watching Spencer Watkins last night? What was he doing so well?
You know, first inning, we got him in some trouble, and I thought it was going to be a long night for him, but he proved that he could throw all his pitches for strikes. He kept the fastball down, and then, to be honest, you know, we found some barrels, but right at guys. The right fielder made one of the best plays I've ever seen in person. He just did a good job of mixing it up and throwing strikes.
When you enter that ninth inning, you kind of see him walk Jhenasuy Vargas on four pitches, and you maybe realize that he knows what's happening. There are a little bit of jitters for him on the mound. Does that give you guys a little bit of encouragement in the dugout?
Yeah, when we walked Vargas, it kind of looked like he had lost it. But then he got, you know, the line drive out to short on the shift, and then Jalen popped up, so you could tell like his adrenaline came back and he knew he was one out away. I just tried to slow it down and put a ball in play hard to left field, and you know, just got a pitch to do it, just kept battling, and had a feeling he was going to try to come with velocity, and kind of got lucky right inside the third baseline.
And the end result still ended up being a loss, 3-0, a shutout. Erie Seawolves came away with the win, so you guys are going to try and even that series up tonight. But to avoid getting no hit and to put the tying run on first base, bring the winning run to the plate, is that a bit of a moral victory?
Yeah. I mean, you know, once the game's over, it's a little bit easier to swallow just because, you know, we showed some fight in the last inning and had some good at-bats, had the bases loaded, put them in a tough spot. So it's obviously, you know, a little bit easier to take the loss after that, but still a loss. Tough eight innings before that. But, yeah, I think, you know, it helps the morale. I think if we got no hit showing up today, it'd be a little bit different. But I don't sense, you know, a sense of, you know, nervousness or any guys down because of yesterday. I think it was just one of those days where squared some balls up, people caught them, you know, just didn't work out for us.
We're chatting here with Ryder Jones and the Flying Squirrels pregame warm-up presented by Air Force Reserve. First pitch at 7:05 tonight between the Richmond Flying Squirrels and the Erie Seawolves. Ryder, this is your first game. Last night was your first game at the Diamond since 2016. What was it like being back in Richmond?
It's good, man. I like playing here. It's fun. It's loud. The way the stands are shaped, the dome kind of style, gets loud. The fans are nice. The field's always taken care of. The grounds crew does a really good job. It's hot and humid, which I haven't experienced in a while, just being on the West Coast for so long. But it's nice, you know. It's good to come back and kind of remember, you know, the 2016 season and memories I have with guys that I played with that year, and just looking back on my career. It's fun to come back and see people that you haven't seen in years, and you know, kind of come back to where I kind of grew up. I feel like this is, you know, the spot where I kind of came into the player I am and kind of grew up here.
What's something that you learned during that 2016 season that you've kept with you over the last few years now?
You know, I think 2016, the second half, is kind of when my career turned around for me. Just learning how to be a little bit more patient, how to you know, not go home after every 0-for-4 and think that your season's going to be a wreck. It just comes with maturity. I see guys here, you know, a couple guys here had hot starts at the beginning with Hayward and Jalen and Jonah and have kind of slowed down. And it's just kind of – it's something that happens, especially in Richmond with the weather and everything you go through and being in AA. I've always said that I thought the starters in AA were tougher than the starters in AAA. A lot of teams have their top prospects here. Their starters are a lot of velocity. It's just a tough league. So, you know, I'm just trying to communicate with those guys. You know, I think I hit 220 my first half in AA and kind of grew from there and just kind of learned how to take more walks and have better at-bats and just trying to relay to those guys to not hang your heads because this is probably the toughest place to hit until you get to the big leagues.
Yeah, back in 2016, you had 15 home runs. That led the team, but this is a ballpark that doesn't really see a lot of home runs, and there have been guys that have talked about having to adjust to a different style of hitting at the plate with this ballpark because of how expansive it is. What's something that you learned about your swing or something that you had to adjust to in 2016 playing in this ballpark for the first time?
Yeah, I think you learn how to become a complete hitter. There's some spots in the minor leagues where you can just pull the ball and it'll fly and your numbers won't really show how good of a hitter you are. I think this level and playing in Richmond shows that, you know, if you don't hit home runs, you can still work a walk or you can still, you know, take your opposite field single and have a 1-for-3 with a walk instead of an 0-for-4. Stuff like that. I felt like I hit home runs here because I never tried to. This is the one place where you can't think about hitting home runs, and that helped me. Some guys, you know, some guys kind of puts you in a hole, but I always felt like I was just going to try to hit a line drive, and I was lucky enough to have a couple fly.
Even on the games with back-to-back grand slams a couple years back, you weren't trying to hit one out?
That was a stretch. I had that. I remember that stretch. Every time I hit it, I just felt like it was going to go out. I had a 2 or 3 day stretch where I think I hit two or three, and hit one foul by like a couple feet, so I just was feeling it at that moment. But yeah, for the most part, you don't get cheap home runs here. You have to barrel them.
That's for sure. Ryder Jones joining us in the Flying Squirrels pregame warm-up presented by Air Force Reserve. Let's talk a little bit about what brings you back to Richmond. It's the start of a rehab appearance. You're working your way back from a knee injury that you suffered last year and subsequent knee surgery after that. For starters, what exactly is a dislocated patella?
So I dislocated my kneecap swinging. It's your kneecap, basically. Your tendon runs right over your kneecap. So when you dislocate your kneecap, your tendon pulls with it. I actually tore it's called your intermedial reaculum tendon, which is like your tendon that runs from your kneecap to the inside part of your knee. So when my kneecap dislocated, it snapped that tendon. So I had surgery on that, and I played last year with patella tendonitis, so I plan on having a minor surgery at the end of the year to fix the tendonitis, but once I dislocated my kneecap, it was kind of two procedures in one, so he went in there and put a cadaver in and then cut into my tendon and scooped out some dead tissue to fix that, but it was just kind of a freak thing. I did it in 2015. Dislocated my kneecap and just rehabbed it and came back. And then last year when it tore, he just, you know, I could have tried to rehab again, but he recommended surgery, Dr. Akazuki, and, you know, we got it done in September, and it's taken me a while to come back. I've had some setbacks, and I'm finally feeling about 100%.
What's the physical rehab like coming back from an injury like that?
It's tough, you know. A lot of it's strengthening your leg back up. I'm not a guy with a big lower half, so for me, I struggled getting my muscle back in my left leg where I had surgery, and I think that contributed a lot to, you know, the minor setbacks I've been dealing with this year. Just little knee pains and not recovering as well as I thought I would. So that's obviously, you know, pushed me to, I don't know what today is, July 19th. But now I feel great. It's just taking a little bit longer than I think a lot of people expected and I expected, but I'd rather be, you know, 100% healthy and ready to go than, you know, playing and worrying about my knee while I'm playing. So I'm glad that we took the longer route and made sure I was okay.
With a kind of freak injury like that, is there a mental side to the recovery as well?
Absolutely. I've always had guys tell me when they go to Arizona, you know, it's a really tough on them, and I've always just kind of like, whatever, you know. I feel like if you had the right mentality, it wouldn't be too hard. But being there, especially during the season, man, it's tough. You find yourself, you know, sitting in your hotel room wondering if you're ever going to be completely healthy again, if you're ever going to, you know, play in the big leagues again or even play in Double A again or be able to be the person you were before you got hurt. And you kind of just have to put all your trust in your PTs and your trainers and do the work and be patient. Patience is the biggest thing. It's so hard to be patient when you come back too early. You know, because you have the pressure of everybody wanting you to come back. And when you come back too early, you get re-injured. And that's when guys really have huge setbacks. But the hardest thing is being patient and trusting the process and trying to have a positive mentality.
And now you're back. You're playing in Richmond. What does that mean to you in your journey back to basically San Francisco?
It means I'm playing. And that's all that matters to me. Doesn't matter what level. You know, I need to prove that I'm healthy and go out here and contribute while I'm here and just try to enjoy it, you know, try to have a positive outlook on it and just try to help this team and help the younger guys. You know, I see like guys like Jalen Miller, who reminds me of myself when I was in this league. I think I was 21 or maybe I just turned 22, but kind of the same thing. I mean, this league is a humbling league. It's not a league where you're going to, you know, come in and hit 330 with 30 homers. I mean, I'm sure somebody's done it, but it's just not one of those leagues. You have to come in here and battle, and you're going to play in 9,500-degree heat with humidity. So it's just – it's something you have to – you learn how to take care of your body here, and you learn how to come out here and play the right way. And I'm just trying to, you know, push that on these guys and hopefully help them understand that.
Well, good to see you back healthy. Glad to have you back in Richmond. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck for the rest of the way, Ryder.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jake.
We'll be right back in the Flying Squirrels pregame warm-up presented by Air Force Reserve. The starting lineups are next, and then first pitch at 7:05 on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.